This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, good morning and welcome to the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Arikalos, and we're going to talk about sports, of course, because it's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. The Fan Early Morning Show is for the average Joe, and where the average Joe shops like a pro. It's CGR Wholesale, the sponsor of the Fan Early Morning Show. So, some news that kind of broke yesterday. I mean, some of it's breaking. Kyle Dubas spoke, right? The head of Penguins operations spoke to the public yesterday in a press conference for almost a half hour. So that's of interest. We'll go over that here in a little bit. Also, the Steelers apparently keeping Mike Sullivan, not the Penguins head coach, right? But their former quarterbacks guy. He's not going to be a senior offensive assistant. So changing roles, it seems, still being on the team. He applied for a couple other jobs in the NFL, but didn't seem to pursue those too far because now he's back with the Steelers organization, so it seems. So Kyle Dubas also said that Mike Sullivan, the head coach of the Penguins, is apparently going to stick around. They're not going to give up on him too soon, and at least not can him at the end of this season. So it's all signs are indicating here, which could frustrate you, perhaps, could not. For me, I'm a little frustrated. I mean, any other coach, it seems like, would get the axe. But Kyle Dubas also talking about how it's more of his responsibility than not. I'm going to let you listen to the like first 15, 20 minutes of that coming up here. I don't have, you know, all the time to play the whole thing, but I think it's important for you to hear like the beginning quotes, the beginning statements that he had, and a lot of the questions he first fielded, because there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, there's also still the question about trading Jake Guentzel or not, and doing that before the deadline. So there's a lot of news, a lot of interest surrounding the Penguins now. Not for the right reasons either, though. There's a lot of just you know, of course, struggles that are going on with them right now. Second to last in the Metropolitan Division. And they're still just, you know, they feel like they're almost there on a lot of games and losing a lot of games late, which is absolutely frustrating. But Kyle Dubas, he spoke yesterday, so I'm going to let you listen to this. If you want to grab a phone line to react, you're welcome to 412-928-9370. I'm going to let you listen to like half, 15, 20 minutes. We'll listen to that. I'll give some reactions as well. I didn't get to listen to the whole thing, so that'll help me listen to this as well. And then we'll react. Again, get a phone line, 412-928-9370. And we can talk about it after it plays. And you can also talk to me on X, at @Kallas_33. That's @Kallas_33. If you have any comments, any questions, anything you want to bring up on there, if I don't get a chance to get to it during this show, I'll certainly respond to you on there. But if I have some time, I'll respond to those comments as well. Again, on Twitter, on X, @Kallas_33. That's @Kallas_33. And then one more time, phone line, 412-928-9370. All right. Here's Kyle Dubas addressing the public from yesterday.
Yesterday, obviously disappointing, and where we're at right now is not where we aspired to be at the beginning, and we're where we aspire to be now. And on that note, I think it's important for me as the person in this position to make myself available to you all and be accountable for where we're at and answer any questions that that anybody has about the team this year to date and with the trade deadline coming up in 2.5 weeks, where we're going. I know that my answers on the trade deadline and our strategy will probably leave all of you not very satisfied, but that's just part of the job and our positioning. So having said that, I'll turn it over to whatever questions anyone has. Fire away.
Kyle, just to be direct with this, just what is Jake Guentzel's future for the Penguins? Do you anticipate him being a member of this organization past March 8th, maybe even July 1? Just where do things stand as far as his status here?
Yeah, I think, Seth, it's obviously one that's at the forefront. He's injured now, obviously on injured reserve, and is eligible to come back on March 10th. I think the way that our whole strategy plays out in the next 2.5 weeks, how our team continues to play, will dictate the short-term answer at the trade deadline, and then we'll continue to have those discussions leading up to that and then afterwards with where it's at. But I would say it's, I understand how valuable he's been as a teammate, person in the community, contributor to helping the team win Stanley Cup and so on and so forth. So it's important, but at the same time, we have to take stock of where we're at and be realistic about the fact that, one of the issues we have is we need to get younger. And we have a lot of guys in their 30s signed. Some of them are some of the best players in the history of the franchise, and it's tough with Jake, as I've said to him, because he's an excellent player and playing at an elite level. But we have to find a way to continue to have those solid veteran guys, but also continue to get younger at the same time.
Kyle, I have two. One, there was a report last night on TSN that everybody but Crosby, Malkin, and Letang has been made available by you. I'm just asking for comment on that before I ask mine.
Sure.
Did you want to address that one first?
Sure, I can take that, yeah. I didn't see the exact verbiage or wording of it. I had another GM mention it to me today or ask me about it clearly. I think we've received a lot of calls on a lot of our players, especially as our team has been in the spot that it's at. My view of it, Rob, has been to, I feel like out of respect to the group here and what they've accomplished, I'm trying to be as patient as possible and give the group the time, and I've outlined that to them to show that we can really make a push and make a run at it. As we've continued to kind of stay level or drop, we look up today at the standings, it's a daunting task. Is the group capable of it? Yes, I think we've shown this year that we are, but we're running out of time to show that we can do it consistently. So as we've had, coming out of the All-Star break, we lose 2 of 3. Last week is the same. We lose 2 of 3. The calls from teams these are really good players here. So teams are calling more and more asking, are they going to be available? And it's my job to listen to it. But I haven't, there's been no discussion about these guys are and these guys aren't available. A lot of teams are just calling and asking about a litany of our players.
My question is, how does what happens between now and the end of the regular season impact what you might do in the off season based off of previous held beliefs or comments regarding coaches, players, and whatnot?
Can I ask you to be more specific about my what comments of mine you're asking?
With regards to the coaching staff or any players on this roster, I know you thought very highly of them all.
Sure.
But if this team continues to go in this direction, how much does that change your thought on what you need to do in the offseason?
Well, I think we have, 29 games remaining to continue to evaluate all of that, Rob. The one thing I'd say about the coaching staff is I think that it's always the easy, low-hanging fruit and target of everything. And I've got a deep respect for the coaching staff and the way that they go about it. I meet with Sully every morning, and we talk multiple times per day. he's deeply invested. He takes it. He has to walk out here every day and answer all the questions. It's not an easy position in this league, especially because of the commitment. It's not like other sports where I don't know that they have this daily, or it's much more impromptu in baseball and the like. In football, I think it's twice a week. He has to come out here every day and present himself. And you know, we've got a team that means a great deal to him. I think he's very open about that, and he takes this very seriously and takes the ups and downs of it very seriously. And I think that's the respect I've developed for him throughout the year. You know that from afar, but when you get in it with somebody, it only helps you. So to me, with the coaching staff, with Sully, I envision Mike Sullivan, based on what I've learned from him in our discussions this year and his ability to, you know, take the development of each individual player seriously. I think he's the type of coach that can both help you win, as you all know here. I wasn't here, but you know, he's the type of coach that shows he can win, but also that he can develop people and develop players. So I don't think that there needs to be any discussion about Mike. As I would do with my own staff and any staff, I'll sit down with Mike at the end of the year and go through his view of it, and we'll be very thorough about that. But I know he has great belief in them and the work that they're doing, and I see the work that they're doing every day, and I think the questions come because it hasn't manifested itself in consistency on the ice. So I think that's a fair question and criticism. With regards to the players, I think it goes into the whole strategy of the group, which we'll evaluate more deeply come the end of the season, whenever that may be.
Kyle, building off that, in regards to the power play, are you satisfied with the work Todd Reardon's done kind of managing that, or is it more of a execution standpoint from the players?
I think when you have an element of your organization that is underperforming, I think it falls on everybody. It falls on me. You know, the personnel, the accountability, you know, so, you know, I have my part in that. It's obviously not performed at near the level that any of us want it to, and you can attribute, you know, how that impacts the, you know, I've had different people in our own staff, like, outline the impact that not performing on the power play has had on our standing so far. You know, so I think, number one, if there's an issue in the organization and you know, regardless of who you want to attribute it to, I think it has to start with me, in terms of I have to investigate why, and I'm the one that should be accountable for it. So I don't, and I think everybody in that locker room is unhappy about where that is at. So I don't want to delve into, you know, individual coaches or players and their play on the power play, because in the end I have to do everything I can to help them all get to that next level. And obviously, I think there's no dancing around it. It hasn't been where we want it to be at. That said, we have continued opportunity here to rectify it, and that would be a real easy way for us to start to move in a more consistently strong direction as a club here in the next couple of weeks.
Kyle, have you to this point, or do you plan to ask someone to waive a no trade or a no movement? And how do you determine, if you decide to move a player, whether to do it now or to wait closer to the deadline to increase his value?
I have not asked any player to waive a no move or no trade. Dave, I think the you know, you're always having these conversations. So in our case, you know, throughout the year, it's been measuring what it's going to cost to bring players in and what the market is for acquiring players. And at the same time, as our standing has kind of remained level outside the playoff picture, we've had more calls, as I outlined earlier. So, you know, it's a gigantic game of poker, really. You're trying to read off of the other teams, you know what teams are interested in your players, also know which teams are interested in the other players that you're pursuing, and react off of that. I mean, in the last several years, in doing this, we've been buyers, you know, in Toronto, and my first couple of years, we were sellers, like, in the biggest way. So, in going through those experiences, I think those you know, and knowing the other GMs and the way that they operate and how they handle their business, that's what I lean on to serve me here. You know, we've got Doug Wilson on our staff as well. He's got a great deal of insight into, you know, the ebbs and flows of the marketplace. There's obviously two trades coming right out of the All-Star break, and since then it's been stagnant. It's sort of the way that it tends to go. So it's always trying to evaluate where that's at. When it's players that have longer term on their contract, both acquiring them and potentially moving them, you're measuring, is what you're paying now going to be more or less, or what you're receiving now going to be more or less than in the summer or at next year's trade deadline or the trade deadline after? So I wish there was a more clear way to answer your question other than to say there it's always fluid and evolving, and it's up to me to stay on top of it and make sure that we're in a good spot on both sides of the marketplace.
Kyle, you're talking about just in the next couple of weeks, the team is still going to get a chance to show you something. I mean, are there scenarios where the team could potentially be buyers if things turn, or right now is it just a matter of determining whether to stick with this group or turn the page towards the future a little bit?
I think what I would say is, I still believe our group is capable. I think we show, there have been many times when we've shown that. There's also times when I understand why anyone would have that question. I think everyone in the room accepts that. My view of it is I can't see us moving future draft capital at this point to try to bolster the team. Are there moves that will allow us to add good younger players to the organization that can help to expedite things here and help us and support the group that's already here? And so we're trying to look through all of that. But I can't see us expending a ton of our future draft capital this year. We don't have a ton, but in the future years we're well stocked, and I don't think that will go out the door, Matt. But if there are scenarios where we have some of our younger prospects that maybe we can add players that are a little bit older and more close to ready for them, I think we would look at all those things. I don't think there's anything at all that's off the table here.
All right, that's Kyle Dubas. That was about half of his half-hour press conference from yesterday, and already in just 15 minutes, there's a lot to unpack there. So I'll react to it. I'll unpack it next. And if you want to call in and you want to react, you're welcome to. Get a phone line now, 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X at callus_33. That's callus_33. My reaction and your reaction coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado 1500 trucks. It's going to be a bit warmer today. Right now it's 43 degrees, high of 49, low of 41 for the day, but an 80% chance of rain. Then tomorrow, high of 52, low of 32, overcast skies expected. And then it looks like early projections next week have highs reaching the mid-60s. So that's that's exciting, sure. Warm weather. Unless you like the cold, I don't know. I personally don't. That's why I like baseball season, too. They play it in the hotter season The hottest, I would say, as well, of the year. But that's Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. My name is Nicholas Harry-Callis. We just listened to about 15 minutes of Kyle Dubas' press conference from yesterday. He spoke publicly. He talked about a lot of stuff. There is a lot of controversy surrounding the team because they're not winning. You know, winning cures all, and right now there's no cure because they're really not winning at all. They're second to last in the Metropolitan Division. I think they're, what, at 56 points now after losing to the New York Islanders earlier this week. So they're struggling. And so Kyle Dubas addressing the public right away, I give him a thumbs up for that. Thank you, Kyle Dubas, for giving us an update. You know, that's very kind, and being real with us. That's good. So with that being said, you know, I give him a little bit of credit. I also still give him some credit for his ability to be formal and professional. You know, you see it a lot, especially in football. When you talk to managers, you got guys or head coaches, you got guys who, you know, can get frustrated in certain situations. You know, they think some questions are obvious or don't need to be asked, although reporters still ask them. And, you know, so I appreciate Kyle Dubas for being real formal, you know, about that, not getting too frustrated with the questions. You know, and I mean, it looked like even some of the reporters there too, I mean, were just kind of like hesitating with their questions, trying to preface like, you know, hey, I'm just trying to clarify, I'm not trying to accuse here. And that's, I think that's really cool. And I like that Dubas still addresses guys by their first names and stuff, and really makes it feel like a personal interaction. So, I mean, I give him credit for that. Now, that's going to lose its luster here soon if, like, no, I get it, he's in his first year. You know, there's not too much to hold him accountable for, although I think he took direct responsibility for how he has managed so far, you know, since he's been the director of hockey operations for the Penguins. He's put the responsibility on him, and he also said outright that the team's got to get younger. So he's telling us what we want to hear. So right now it's like, okay, you get a pass for now. That's fine. You know, it's frustrating that they're losing, but like, I can't be mad at Kyle Dubas. I can't be frustrated with Kyle Dubas for a lot of the things that he said. Now, saying that he's going to bring Mike Sullivan back, that Mike Sullivan's established he can win. Okay, I mean, he's not really wrong. I mean, you know, we've been over this with the Steelers. Like, we want to see some fresh faces and stuff, and Sullivan seemed to overstay his welcome, and he's definitely stayed over the average length of time a usual head coach in the NHL stays. So that I'm going to disagree with slightly. But again, I mean, he's got a slight point, though. If they have a younger roster, you know, Sullivan might be more effective. It could just be the average player age on the team as well that's holding them back. So I'll give him a little bit of that, too. But again, I mean, maybe with a younger roster, Dubas said that, right? Like, let's get younger, and we need to get younger. So, I mean, we'll see where that goes. But if Dubas is acknowledging that they need to get younger to succeed, then, I mean, maybe Sullivan would be more effective with a younger roster. So that's highly possible. So we'll see about that. And I also addressed Jake Guentzel. Jake Guentzel hurt right now. So Dubas said that he's slated to be activated March 10th, and then they'll go from there. Of course, praised Guentzel for his ability to contribute to winning. And he didn't leave it out, though. I mean, he didn't leave out that a trade wouldn't be possible with Guentzel. So he's leaving that kind of on the table as well for us all to fester over. Personally, I think trading Guentzel would be good. It could net some prospects, could net some value that could help in the future. But Dubas also said that as well. He's acknowledging, too, that the team has that the team is built in a way where they've established that they can win. Dubas said, got to do it consistently, though. We have to prove that we can do it consistently. We're running out of time, but we know that we can do it. And that's cool. So he said he's not going to sell off too many assets to try to get, you know, he's not going to sell off too many assets to try to get more value. There's no reason to clean out, he said. So really the vibe I'm getting here, I mean, the big theme that I've got through listening to about half of that press conference from yesterday from Kyle Dubas is that the team is confident in itself. The players are just older than they want them to be. So, I mean, that's where we're at. It's not the head coach's fault, and Dubas is taking responsibility for his part in assembling the team. And but the team is still to be believed in, and there are a lot of players on the team that can contribute to winning, and there's no reason to clean house. Just got to keep going and check again in the offseason, so it seems. It's an interesting stance. I mean, if he keeps talking like this but not winning after a little while, I mean, his presentation is going to lose its luster for me. It's going to lose that element, and it's going to become, it's just not going to mean anything. Right now, I have a lot of respect for him to be able to, like, present himself in a way that is professional and that is informative. Like, I feel like he's being transparent, whether he actually is or not. I feel like he's being transparent. And early on in this, you know, relationship between fan and guy in charge, I mean, I like where it sits. Now, you know, I never expect, you know, team officials to tell us everything because they've got to keep their secrets, I guess. It's fine. I get that. But yeah, I mean, he seemed like he gave enough information to where, you know, I feel confident. Like, okay, I understand where he's coming from. Don't agree with everything he said. If it were me, Mike Sullivan, I think his time has expired here. Dubas thinks that he can still be a winning coach. And again, I'm kind of like halfway on that because, I mean, if you give him a younger team, maybe he could, you know, motivate better. I mean, it's just tough, though, when you have guys who are aging, like they physically just can't do it anymore. That doesn't mean that the players are bad necessarily or that they've had bad careers or they were bad decisions once upon a time, but like, they're getting up there in age to where like other younger teams are just kind of swooping in and winning more, and that's really where it is. So, could Sullivan effectively coach a younger team? Maybe. It's just a weird situation here as well because like, I mean, the players aren't bad because like they're bad players. Like they seem like they're just getting worse because of age, and so I mean it's still a glaring problem. It's a little more settling to know that at least it's like, okay, they're aging out, right? There are a lot of good players, but they're starting to finally age out after all these years, so we've got to identify this sooner than later to you know, do better. Now, a contrary point to that would be, you know, okay, Dubas, we got to get younger, so why even trade for Carlson in the first place? Which I think is a fair question. Dubas did a pretty good job of alleviating a lot of contracts as well in the off season, so that the Penguins could be set up better, you know, from a financial standpoint. So you got to give him credit for that as well, I would think. Or I'll give him credit for it at the very least. So, I mean, the Penguins are a tricky situation right now. Like I'm frustrated with them, but like Dubas speaking right now, like, okay, you got a little more of a leash now. It's fine. I'm not as frustrated because they're coming out, they're being transparent, Dubas being transparent as the leader of everything, and that you know, that gives me some satisfaction. Now, changes better be made, like, eventually. You know, we're not going to wait forever, but, like, right in this moment, I'm like, all right, you know, they're probably not going to make the playoffs, and that's tough, but, you know, give them another offseason, give them a chance to really, you know, figure this out and you know, go from there. 412-928-9370. I'm going to take one more caller before I go to break and send it to the next show. Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning. It's Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, I agree with everything you say, right? And what Dubas said. And okay, Geno's play fast is prime because he's like Ben after everything. But the team in general, Sid, Letang, all those guys play with a passion. Isn't it the style of play? That dump and chase has never worked in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And everybody's figured it out. It's just bad. I mean, we need to change up our game and how we play the game, not who we have on the ice.
Yeah, but I also think, and thanks for the call, I'm up against it. I just think that the style of play worked when they like had the quickness. So I would just counter that by saying, like, maybe it is who it's on is on the ice because they're not like young enough and fast enough to like do that game plan. Now, as a coach, could you try to coach around your older players and like come up with a style that works for them? Sure, you could. But I'd also argue, like, okay, you know, maybe give me some younger players. You know, give me some guys who can, you know, be more speedy and youthful. And so, yeah, I don't totally disagree, but I think there's another, you know, counter to that point. But and thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.